I have this hang up where I am trying to get over the hump of standing in this power of owning my prices, because I feel like there's a lot of should and a lot of should nots in pricing for yoga or meditation or health or spiritual or fitness. And I just want to talk through that and see where this whole thing lands.
Well, and it is, it's really interesting. So people and the way that people value money and the way that people think about money, people have some such interesting viewpoints about money, and a lot of them are created really, really young, right? And so 6, 7, 8 years old. And there's also a lot of scarcity mentality in almost everyone that is coming out in that. Different ways, different forms, like different kind of blocks, if you will. And so it's interesting that because of the society, I feel like maybe for a long time, we haven't valued some more of the less tangible aspects, if you will, right? Like spirituality, like meditation, and some of these practices that are maybe thought of as more like Eastern kind of practices, right? or kind of East leaning. And in fact, I will argue until I'm blue in the face that in order to reach true financial mastery, you have to be in alignment with yourself across the board, right? It's not gonna just take, I got this great, amazing job and I made gobs and gobs of money, or, oh, well, you know, I understand the mechanics of money. Like, I am a financial master. Like, I don't need all of that like spiritual woo woo, like whatever crap. And I think sometimes people just get like a really negative connotation surrounding it. And it's really sad, because it is a really important, really key essential element of mastery that I think people really aren't thinking about and or tapping into. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. Today we have Miss Rachel with us, and she is an awesome, amazing woman. She actually has her own podcast called The Fits In Project. It is basically like a lot about sort of self-discovery, self-learning. I'll let her explain a little bit more here in a second about that, as well as all things yoga, really kind of learning how to connect with that inner self, right? Through the physical aspect and like kind of that spiritual aspect of that practice. And so we are super excited to have you today, Rachel. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah. So as you mentioned, my name is Rachel Fitzpatrick and the host of the Fits In Project. And that kind of arrived because I am a blend of project executive plus a yoga teacher. And it's like a fit and a zen, and how that all like fits into your life, right? So I feel like we're all our most important projects, and that's like the most essential part of life. And that awareness and that key is what I try to bring into everything, whether it be like a project where I'm in healthcare IT. So whether it be a project in that nature or a project in yourself where you're trying to maybe create a new habit or try yoga for the first time, meditation even. And I lead people through that every single day. So it's exciting, and it's also a passion of mine to share. But I absolutely am excited to be on your podcast, The Financial Mastery. This is exciting to me, mainly because like I have this, well, okay, it might be a little bit of a hang up, but I have this hang up where I am trying to get over the hump of standing in this power of owning my prices, because I feel like there's a lot of should and a lot of should nots in pricing for yoga or meditation or health or spiritual or fitness. And I just want to talk through that and see where this whole thing lands.
No, absolutely. Well, and it is, it's really interesting. So people and the way that people value money and the way that people think about money, first of all, as you and I have kind of talked on your podcast, as well as, you know, just offline, people have some such interesting viewpoints about money, and a lot of them are created really, really young, right? And so 6, 7, 8 years old. And there's also a lot of scarcity mentality in almost everyone that is coming out in that different ways, different forms, like different kind of blocks, if you will. And so it's interesting that because as a society, I feel like maybe for a long time, we haven't valued some more of the less tangible aspects, as if you will, right? Like spirituality, like meditation, and some of these practices that are maybe thought of as more like Eastern kind of practices, right, or kind of East leaning practices. And so we sometimes, I think, correlate then that they don't have dollar figure value, which is incredibly untrue, right? Number one. In fact, I will argue until I'm blue in the face that in order to reach true financial mastery, you have to be an alignment with yourself across the board, right? It's not going to just take, I got this great, amazing job and I made gobs and gobs of money, or, oh, well, you know, I understand the mechanics of money. And so like, I am a financial master. Like I don't need all of that, like spiritual woo woo, like whatever crap. And I think sometimes people just get like a really negative connotation surrounding it. And it's really sad because it is a really important, really key essential element of mastery that I think people really aren't thinking about and or tapping into in a really big, broad way.
For sure. For sure. It's so funny because I think it was one of the Yoga Sutras, which I just read, oddly enough.
What is a Yoga Sutra? I'm sorry to be ignorant.
The Yoga Sutras are basically alignment in the body, and then there's alignment in the mind. And it's just this old ancient wisdom of basically both the mind and the body and how you can bring in the spirituality. And it's written in Sanskrit, but the Yoga Sutras book itself is broken down in English language. And it also kind of like demystifies the Sanskrit and explains it to where you can add it into kind of practicalities of everyday living. So one of these per se, and they're almost like tiny little meditation pieces or what you would see in the Bible, like a gospel, for example. But okay, one of them the other day was about money and about getting paid. And it was like, I wish I remembered the exact number. I didn't even know I was going to bring this up.
Okay.
I would have wrote it down, but basically it was this guy, he was going to this studio for the first time and he was like, how do you teach the same thing over and over and over again? And your people keep coming in numbers and they keep giving you money and they're giving you the offerings. I feel like I have to teach something new every single time. And the moral of the whole story was that it wasn't that you have to do something new or reinvent the wheel. It's this presence that you create in people where they feel like they need to give you money. And that is an exchange. But it's when they're there and they're in that present moment that that's becoming their powerful instinct to like give back. Whereas if you put it on a sign, yoga for $10, that's just like, oh, you just read yoga for $10 means nothing.
But right.
They go and they do it and they have this feeling, that's what they're buying. That's like their offering. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm assuming, and you can correct me if I'm wrong with this assumption, that you were sort of drawn to yoga because you're sort of on the health space in a very like practical kind of way, like in your other. And so it's sort of like the yin to the yang, right? Like the,
yeah,
balance. And so I'm sure that you had some interest in like the health-ish space, you know, like from, and I think what's really interesting is as a society, I don't think we really value some of the other ways that are actually probably better for us and better for our body, like yoga, like meditation, like some of these practices that aren't necessarily free, if you will. Like, I mean, yes, they're free to like do on your own, right? Like, so you can like go and do them on your own completely for free, but you can sort of like pay a, all things considered, nominal amount of money to be able to be in that practice with that person and be learning and kind of, you know, healing your body in this way. But we are willing to pay all kinds of money to go to a regular doctor, to go ahead and take tons and tons of medicine, which don't even get me started about how much toxin and like just garbage and junk are in so many of the medicines that we take as a society. And so it's very interesting to me. And I think that when we are talking about financial mastery, people really need to peel back the layers and asking themselves hard questions. Because first of all, I will say the body is a super powerful thing. Whether you believe in God or a higher power or whatever sort of viewpoint, I guess it is, you will. Most people who believe in some sort of a creator, some sort of higher power, believe and understand that we were basically created where our bodies are so powerful that they can more or less heal themselves. Now, I'm not saying that modern medicine isn't helping this along, right? That it can't like kind of partner and come in concert with this. But there are so many different natural ways like yoga or tapping, you know, EFT, like some of these, you know, acupuncture, some of these different kinds of modalities that can help your body heal without regular traditional modern medicine. And so why is it as a society that we're willing to pour, you know, hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars into this? But we aren't, on the flip side, allowed to see these other practices as valid. And I think you're probably right. It's probably a lot mindset of like, we're having a hard mindset as a society. And then also some of the mindset of the people who are offering the services, right? They don't necessarily feel like they're in that transactional state as opposed to thinking about it from a metaphysical, like what is the actual transformation that's happening, and what is the transformation worth, as opposed to what is one yoga session worth, if you will.
Right. And you're looking at two other things in both of those too. So you're looking at proactive medicine, which is what I do. And then you're looking at reactive medicine, and you got to go in and you got to fix shit that you would just refuse to pay attention to from the get-go.
And for real.
If you had just seen Rachel Fitzpatrick before it got this bad, perhaps you wouldn't be spending more billions of dollars or whatever of insurance monies to come and get your side and your hip fixed. You know what I'm saying? So like, you're going to pay for it either way. So why would you not do it in a fun way? And you're not sitting in line at the pharmacy. I don't know.
Well, I think that we are sort of seeing the beginning of an awakening in people that some of these things are more important, right? I'm very encouraged by some of the decisions here lately with a lot of these major manufacturers, food manufacturers, like places like this or whatever, to pull some of the things that we have realized are toxic for a while now out of, you know, foods or whatever. And I mean, yes, obviously they're receiving pressure from above. And so it's sad that they need the pressure, but I do understand it from a actual financial standpoint. They're probably thinking, well, this is going to cost me more. And then how is that working out in the dollars and the cents, right? But it always amazes me when you have multiple other countries that have banned these things. And we still as Americans are like, yeah, that's cool. Like, just pump that toxin right on in there. Like, yeah, it's fine. Like, it'll be fine. And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of it, because let's be real, a lot of it has to do with convenience. It's convenient. It's inexpensive. And so, you know, we trade off. And so this is, again, where I go back to mastery in general. You have to sort of choose your hard, right?
Yeah.
And so there isn't necessarily one wrong or right way. And I think we all, probably in our early adulthood and early 20s, ate a bunch of junk we probably shouldn't have really eaten, did a lot of probably stuff we shouldn't have done, right? Like, we definitely outsource some of our power for convenience and naivete.
It keeps going and going and going and going.
But, and maybe you disagree with me, but like, I have seen a lot of positive movement in these younger generations, like in Gen Z and even in younger millennials, where they are actively looking at their health earlier. They're not waiting until they're 40 and 50 and 60 years old, right? Until everything hurts and, you know, they have to have a special pillow to go to sleep, or otherwise their whole body is in a bunch of knots.
Yeah. I actually have to have a special pillow.
I know, me too. Well, that's why I joke. I'm like, you know, you're old when you reach the age where if you don't have your special pillow with you wherever you go, like, you basically didn't sleep.
Yeah, it's basically like the worst day ever for like however long it is that I don't have that pillow.
Right. And when you were 20, you slept on a cement floor with no pillow. Right, with no pillow. And you were hungover as hell. And you somehow woke up perfectly rested. It was great.
Get to work. Everything's great.
It was great. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, man. 20-year-old blood is...
I know. Well, and I mean... you know, you and I were talking about like even overcoming it. And I think my guess is, and I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is some of your own mindset surrounding some of your pricing comes from some of the societal crap that has been programmed within you, right? Yeah. With this belief that like what you do isn't worthy of the money that you're asking for, that you're wanting. Right. But then again, you know, there's people worldwide that host yoga retreats that charge ungodly amounts of money for you to come out and do all these things and these practices and whatever. And I say ungodly, I mean, the truth is like, that's all relative again, but you know what I mean? Like, and so this is all the thing. I mean, I'll give you a very good example and I'll give it to you from my own space. So obviously I work in mortgage and a lot of people, first of all, believe that all interest rates are created equal, which is actually bullshit. Not true at all. There's lots that go into them or whatever. But we definitely, when you are in the space that I'm in directly, so I don't work directly for a bank or whatever, I'm basically a broker, we do get to have some say in how much money we make per deal, right? So we get to decide, you know, like if we basically make nothing or if we make, you know, a regular, kind of more regular amount of money, if you will. And even when the interest rate started shifting and a lot of people basically because it was like crabs trying to get out of the barrel and, you know, everybody was like pulling the other one down. And so everybody kept trying to go lower, lower, lower on price. I was like, no, we provide a very high level of service. We're very competitive. So it's not like you're going to get like just $1 jillion better deal than what I'm going to offer you. Okay. But on the same token, like, I'm sorry, I'm not willing to short myself because I know that you're going to make way better financial decisions if you use us for the mortgage piece. You're going to understand your process. You're going to save yourself thousands of dollars just simply in information on like how you handle scenarios. So you're going to be able to more easily navigate what comes next, right? What comes after. When it comes to owning a home, and this is the largest debt you basically will ever hold. And so this is a very big, very important decision that you're making. And so if somebody really wants to go out there and try to find a deal that's better than what we're offering, the truth is they probably can't, right? I mean, maybe not a whole lot better, but a little better. That part is true. But on a certain stance, you really have to step back and you have to find value in who you are and what you do and what you're bringing into the world, because so many people are not going to see you that way. And if they don't see you that way, that's your choice, right? Like, we can't change the people in your space that think yoga is hoo-hoo and not for them. Like, great. Right. As I say all the time, that's great. There's a door. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out. Like, no worries. That's not your thing. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But we also need to know, and if you're an entrepreneur listening to this, that when you provide value and you provide a certain service, it's okay to ask for what you're worth, right? And that will probably shift as time goes on, right?
Absolutely.
Like, if we're doing a product that we may not know about as much, I might take a little bit of a discount for the learning process, right? To understand and to learn when we're going through this. And so I think a lot of times, that's a big hang up for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. And I will say 100% that I've even felt that in my own ways of coming in to being a yoga teacher. And also even like a project manager to project executive, even if you want to get down to the grit of it all. But what I've seen as a yoga teacher was it all is about your own identity that you tell yourself you are and that you actually are and what you are as you become in stepping into this whole entire space. So when you are leading a yoga class or project, it doesn't even matter. When you're leading something, you come from this place of authority. And if I'm over here and I can't tell you the difference between right and left, and I'm trying to teach this yoga class, then I would hope you wouldn't pay for that. You know, like, what kind of transformation are you going to get out of that? And I'm not a soft-spoken person. I'm like a direct, here's what we're going to do. Here's how this is going to feel in the body. I know exactly where it's coming from. And I practice enough in my own body to know if this is safe and if it's not. And I read enough to know if it's safe or if it's not. But not everybody, like you said, is on that same level that you're going to bring to the table every single time. So I think like understanding that and that identity is where the price point gets to meet the person. And I can go to yoga studios. I live in central Kentucky, and I can go to ones in Lexington that are like $30 for a class, or I can go over to perhaps Danville and go to ones that are like $10 class. And when I go to either one, you're getting that kind of teacher, right?
Sure.
Or you get really surprised, and I teach I make $20 a class at the Wellness Center, okay, in Danville on Fridays. And I do that because I love it. But I guarantee you, if I were to teach this class in Louisville or Lexington, it's a $35 to $40 class.
Sure.
In general. But my people are retired and they're like the loves of my life. So I love it. There's really not a price tag for me as a teacher on that one.
I love that.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, again, that's where a lot of people, when they are entrepreneurs and when you are dealing with, you know, business and the financial mastery piece, You really do have to understand perceived value too, right? I mean, as you know, I have recently launched a program called Financial Instincts Framework. And Financial Instincts Framework is a lot of hard work in the sense that people have to really do some hard work, right? Some really thought-provoking things, some really awareness-driven exercises to try to understand not only what your own financial strengths are, but then also what are your blocks? Like, what's holding you back? Like, what are, you know, whatever. And I got told by another individual in a program that you and I are both a part of that I wasn't charging enough money.
Right.
And I think some of it is that, you know, it is kind of a beta program for me. I'm kind of figuring it out and, you know, understanding what it looks like and how, you know, making sure that we get the results that I want to get and that I haven't overwhelmed and drowned people too much, or, you know, that I need to step back and, you know, help expand more work in other places. But she was not wrong. You know, I mean, I have been pouring my heart and my soul into really making sure, because like you, I want transformation to be the end result of this, you know, situation, right? I want them to feel more confident in their financial mastery when they're outside of this program. And so sometimes if we cut it too short, right, then we're like, what's wrong with it? Like, what?
Right.
What's the issue, right? Like, right. Why is it not more expensive than that? And so sometimes it's exactly like what you said, right? Like, it's a passion project, or you're serving a group of individuals that is underserved, that, you know, the dollars and cents maybe isn't there or whatever, right? Or there's plenty of attorneys who do pro bono work, and that is just their way of giving back, right, to society, mm-hmm. to people, things like this or whatever. And so oftentimes we really have to remind ourselves, like on the financial mastery piece, that it is multi-level, right? And I talk all the time on the podcast about having awareness, being intentional, and I will say it non-blue in the face because I think they're the probably two biggest components in financial mastery, right? Like, yeah, you need, you know, to an expert like me or somebody else in my space to give you some of the mechanics of like how some of the actual things work, right? Like if you have no idea how a mortgage works, then yeah, you need to talk to me and I need to explain to you the mechanics, the big rocks of like how this looks and how this is going to work and why it matters and like those kind of aspects. But the truth is, if you don't know where you're going and you don't have an idea of what you want it to look like when you get there, then it's going to be pretty hard to fail forward and to take those aligned steps, because you're just going to be flailing. And I feel like that's actually what 90% of all people are doing in current state. They do not have any level of financial mastery, if I'm very honest, because I see it every single day. I think it was one of the bigger drivers for me starting this, is that I saw these people who have excellent credit scores and they are making a fair bit of money or whatever. And yeah, there's some people really struggling as well, right? Everybody kind of across the map. But the thing that surprised me was not the people that were struggling. Like, you kind of expect them not to have financial mastery, not to be rude, right? But you don't look at them and say like, oh yeah, they're killing the game financially, right? Like their credit score is a 500, like they're killing it. Like that's not what you think of. But the people who have crazy high credit scores and tons of money in the bank and they're still feeling unfulfilled and lost and like they've checked off all the boxes and still it's not enough or whatever, right? Like that part really just broke my heart. And I'm like, well, nobody's speaking to this. Like nobody is just calling it out and saying like, hey, great. Like good for you, right? Like you got the big job and you made all the money and we even helped you buy like the big house you wanted and. And now what?
Yeah. Got a soul aligned, baby. Come to me.
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, you know, and the hard part is that now when they're having this awakening, they are coming to people like you, right? And like, hopefully they are really valuing that or whatever, but like, it's not too late to start as soon as you're hearing this podcast, right? Like, it's not too late to like start stepping into it. Like, I know those of you, like I have been that person who checked up all the boxes and did all the right things and fit inside all the boxes that society wanted me to, and still very heavily tries to pressure me to be And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Thanks, though. This is how I'm handling it, and this is what I'm doing. So if you don't like it, I'm so sorry, mom. I'm so sorry, best friend. I'm so sorry, society or whoever it is that's trying to tell me, like, that's not the way.
Right. No, I feel that too. And what I really love as well is you mentioned, like, it's kind of all across. And there are yoga teachers, and what I find the very best in yoga teachers, doctors, the pro bono lawyers, is you can go and you can make all the money you want to. You can go on the fancy retreats. You can host the biggest $5,000 two-night retreat you want to in Bali. It doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, reaching the lower level income as well, it is a circle of life type thing. And I think, like, my $20 class on once a week, or teaching for free in the park, or going to the bar and teaching a yoga class at the local bar, you know, those things are helping everything. And I think, like, those seeds need grown too, most certainly. And the pro bono lawyers and the doctors that go and they do all of these free health fairs and everything else all around the world. But I do also think that there is a place for them to also be a catalyst in financial, like being paid for their services, being paid for their expertise, and it not being shunned on because they are great. And I think with that money, like, you're, how many people do you know that are doctors that give out scholarships, right? How many lawyers do you know give out scholarships? Like, when I go to these banquets at the local high school, those are the people who are contributing back into the community, like the CEOs of the bank, you know, like with a yoga, being a yoga teacher or a project executive, you know, you're making money and you're leading retreats, but that money also gets to pour back into the community in a different way.
I was going to say, yeah, it's all cyclical. Like, you know what I mean? Like, reciprocity, it doesn't always have to come exactly the way that you're thinking. I was laughing though, because as you're talking about doctors and lawyers, that's because there's a common misnomer that they're crappy with money, and it's not untrue. It was like a big joke when I was in law school. Like, I'll never forget it because I worked full time the whole time I was going to law school. And so people found out that I did mortgage for a living, and one person came up to me and they're like, so you're like good at math? And I said, yeah, I'm good at math. Why? And they're like, but lawyers aren't good at math. And I was like, not all lawyers are bad at math. Like, we don't all have to be bad at math. That, like, doesn't have to be the box that everybody has to fit into. But I thought it was so funny because I was like, huh. And the truth is that a lot of them aren't particularly great with math. Not that they necessarily have to be. But I thought, when you were making the comment, all I kept thinking in my head is they're not offering scholarships because they're bad with not really. But anyways, just as an aside. But it's interesting. You also find in a lot of these spaces where people are very successful, right? They are exactly who society thinks that we all should be. They're epitome of making the most money and, right? Fill in the blank. And what's interesting is most of them are the most stressed out. They are the least fulfilled, right? Like, they have the highest divorce rates. And so sometimes, again, you just have to really step back. And when you're thinking about mastery in general, mastery in your life, you really have to ask yourself, at what cost? Yeah. Because there's always a trade, right? There's always a trade. And it's like you were saying, you know, like your way of giving back or whatever, you know, free session in the park or whatever, right? There is all these different ways that, like, we each can give back. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's time, resources. Like, there's tons of ways that we can find to give back to society, to give back in life. And so there's always the trade-off, right? Good and bad. And so I think sometimes when people are thinking about financial mastery, they're not thinking about the trade. You get this, you give up this or whatever. And it's not that one is necessarily bad. Like, maybe stress doesn't bother you, right? Like, maybe, you know, you have the high threshold for that kind of a thing or whatever. And, like, you know that this is a means of the end, right? Like you can do this and then that yields you this lifestyle that you want. And then your plan is retire earlier, whatever it is, right? Yeah. Like, great.
At a cost.
Great. Exactly. Like at a cost, right? So like you just have to understand what that is. And so we each have to walk this life. You know, we're only given one. And I think there is a lot of value to, you know, figuring out, you know, what that looks like for you and figuring out like in your space, if you're an entrepreneur, how do you know, price things? How do we make sure that we balance?
Yeah.
Valuing yourselves enough, right? Because there's a lot of people that unfortunately don't value some of the maybe less tangible.
It is less tangible results. For sure.
Right. Yeah. But the truth is it's equally as important.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I found that probably what I've spent the most amount of money on in the last 24 has been transformation. And it's not been transformation like in dollars and cents, like on paper. Ultimately, do I want it to translate into more money in my business so that I can do more good and whatever? Yes, absolutely I do, right? Because that does allow me then to pour back in multiple different ways into society or whatever. And I believe firmly to much is given, much is required. But it's not because I'm like, oh, I need to do this because I got to make lots and lots of money, right? That's just what needs to happen here.
Yeah.
And so any last minute thoughts, Rachel?
Wow. I mean, you just like hit every single nail on the head. But, you know, I love that your last 24 months have been spent on transformation, because I feel like what we're doing is buying these quantum leaps to be able to share. And it's
absolutely
literally giving it back. Everything that has been coming through or coming to has been coming through. So I am so happy about that. And the fact that we're in that community and we get to share that space, it's just amazing. But no, I appreciate this. This is super insightful. And yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And let us know. I think that there is something that you're going to offer the audience, kind of tell them what it is and where they can kind of find it so that we can make sure that, you know, when you are looking for this deep, rich spiritual transformation that Rachel is helping provide, right? That is definitely a space that I am not as well versed in. This is not necessarily my God-given gift. You can find Rachel and direct yourself that way.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. So right now I have a Fits Into Prioritize. It's a mini worksheet that can help you identify your priorities and just make one shift to make a better life, whether it be mind, body, spirit, it doesn't matter. It's just acknowledging where you're at and where you want to be. So there's that, and that will help you subscribe to my newsletter. And from my newsletter, you will get all of the things, all of the time from me, but I send one email a week, and I feel like that is just perfect, and it's all the sauce. It's the best meal of the week, in my opinion, right in your inbox. So yeah, that's at the Fits In Project. You can find that in my show notes. It's also fitsinyoga.com. You can find it there, and the lead magnet I'm happy to share.
I love that. Well, and guys, definitely check it out. If we are trying to master money, if that is our aim here, I also offer a few different like things, either free or paid. So make sure you always check out the show notes, because we always have new exciting things that come on that can help you make shifts in your life. I'm about to drop a masterclass that is basically about resetting your money, right? Kind of resetting all the things so that we can have the kind of success that we are looking for when it comes to that monetary aspect. And so thank you so much again, Rachel, for being here. It was so fabulous to have you. We really appreciate you coming on. And hopefully this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified was helpful. And we will see you next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.
Thank you.